We rise. Grace to you and peace from the Lord our Judge, who has laid up for you the crown of righteousness, a crown which he will give to you and all who believe on that day. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, you visited the people of Israel in Egypt. So also we pray that you would cause your name to be remembered among us as we hear your word and are freed from our sins, that we might live to serve you all our days. Amen. All scripture is God-breathed. We turn our attention to that word written by Moses, inspired by God in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of him who was, who is, and who is to come, to all who love our Lord's appearing. As I was on my way back from study club this week, I stopped to visit a member of Luther Memorial in Fond du Lac. He lives in Freeport and has been living there for some time. His name is Donald Zanzo. Since he lives closer to our congregation, when I'm traveling north, I'll try to make a stop and a visit to bring him a devotion and the Lord's Supper. Donald has a struggle with memory loss. At least two or three times during our visit, he would ask me, Now, where are you from? And have you ever been here before? And I'd remind him that I'm Pastor Pfeiffer from Batavia, and I visit him about two or three times a year. A good memory is a precious possession. Because it's all too easy to forget. It's not just Alzheimer's that plagues us. The oppression of this sinful world has any number of ways to captivate your mind. Yes, to take you captive. It could be an oppressive job or demands at home. It could be an illness, an ailing back and surgery that you have to go through or you're trying to avoid. It could be what we all face, the captivation of our sinful flesh, the oppression of personal weaknesses and failures that plague our mind, that captivate our thoughts. We become so captivated by current afflictions that we're liable to forget. To forget his name. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry, for I know their sorrows, and I have come down to deliver them, to rescue them. Remember that name which rescues you. Remember that name, I am. What do I have to do to get your attention? We ask our kids this many times. Kids are so easily distracted. What's it going to take to get that distracted child's attention? When God needs to get our attention, he has any number of ways to do it. He's perfectly comfortable acting through his creation to get our attention. Recall what it took Pharaoh. 10 plagues before he would let the people of Israel go as God had commanded. God is perfectly comfortable visiting us through the creation to get our attention. However, while a catastrophic event, a typhoon that wipes out thousands of lives, might get our attention, it doesn't really reveal who God is. It doesn't really reveal his name. It won't reveal, I am the God of rescue. So God not only gets Moses' attention, but he does something about it. The burning bush was more than just a miraculous event. It was something that spoke to Moses. God ignites the fire of his name so that everyone can see it. Verses 7 and 8. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, have heard their cry, I know their sorrows, so I have come to rescue them. The Hebrew word for know indicates more than just a knowledge of facts. It's more than just an awareness of your sorrows. The word indicates knowledge on the basis of experience, that you truly have to live through something before you can know it. The Lord knows your sorrows. It is in his name I am, a name to remember. Verse 15 calls it his memorial. God will not allow himself to be defined as a generic spirit that can be seen in countless different religions, visiting you with countless different names. He goes by one special name. In the Hebrew, it's pronounced Jehovah. And your English Bibles will often translate it capital L-O-R-D, the Lord. It's actually a verb. It means I am or he is. And it indicates that God never changes. And it ties the true God to his saving grace, his covenant promises. Is a name which truly defines him. I am. It would define him according to that covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob some 400 years before this event with Moses. It is a name which guarantees rescue. It guaranteed Israel a rescue from Egypt. It guaranteed that God would bring them to this land spoken of, the land of the Canaanites. The promised land, it guaranteed that their descendants would become as the stars of the sky, and it guaranteed they'd have one very special descendant. His name would mean Jehovah rescues. The Lord saves. His name would be Jesus. We need that same reminder. We need that visitation from God's rescue, His name. Because children are so easily distracted. A child or a teenager, a husband or a wife, father or a mother, parent or a grandparent, a senior citizen or an infant. God needs to get our attention. As we said before, God has any number of ways to grab our attention. He might allow some unexpected illness or some unexpected typhoon to be a part of your life. God's perfectly comfortable working through His creation to get our attention. However, such events don't really reveal who He is. They might reveal an almighty God who has all power over creation, but they don't reveal I Am, a name which rescues us in those events, in those moments that we go through in our life. As we said before, God is perfectly comfortable working through His creation to get our attention. He's also perfectly comfortable working through our creation to actually rescue us. The burning bush was more than just a miraculous event. It was something that spoke saving grace. God can work through earthly elements to speak to us and to rescue us. In the midst of these pages of Scripture, in these written thoughts, God rescues us. In the midst of the waters of baptism, God speaks through His creation and His word to rescue us, to bring us from that land of captivity and to stand us on holy ground, to wash us of all of our sins and to make you His own special child, to give you His name. In the midst of bread and wine, God speaks. He causes His name to be remembered, as Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He was echoing verse 15, a memorial, a place where God's name is remembered and where He visits us to rescue us from all of our sins. Those elements are a memorial. Jehovah saves, or as it comes to us in the Greek, Jesus. In 1997, one of our seminary professors named Clifford Keeney wrote an article entitled Jehovah Jesus. In that article, he compares Old Testament passages which talk about the Lord Jehovah, whether it's a description of something He'd do in the future or a description of His characteristics, and then he'll compare it with New Testament passages which ascribe that same prophecy to Jesus. He demonstrates in many instances of Scripture that Jehovah is Jesus. Jehovah in the flesh, in human form. I put a copy of an excerpt from this article on the back table. You might find it useful if you're ever confronted with a Jehovah's Witness who tries to tell you that Jesus is not the one and only true God. Comparing those Old Testament and New Testament passages, we see Jesus is the Lord. One of those passages that Professor Keeney quotes is Zechariah chapter 12. We read there, "I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me," that is, on Jehovah, on the Lord, "whom they pierced." When the soldiers examine the body of Jesus as He hangs there on the cross, John writes that they stab His side with a spear to make sure He's dead. And then John quotes Zechariah 12 and says, "These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. They shall look on Him whom they pierced." It was the Lord God Himself who hung there for your sins. So when he says, I know your sorrows, he means it as the Hebrew expresses it, from personal experience, from being in this creation, from being under the oppression of our weaknesses and our pain, from being under the law. The Creator God would constrain himself to the moral demands that you and I have failed to fulfill. And through it all, he would remain, I am, the unchanging name which rescues. He would fulfill everything that was asked of him. He would hang on that cross, and your oppressions would become his, your cries would become his, and your sorrows would become his. And so Isaiah writes, he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. It is the covenant name, Jesus, which guarantees our rescue. The Lord knows your sorrows, and he guarantees your rescue. When he says, I am who I am, he keeps his promises. He rescues you from all of your sins, and he will rescue you from your current distress and your future sorrows. It's a name to remember. The next time I go to visit Donald Zanzo, he probably won't remember who I am. But I'm confident there's one thing that he will remember. The name Jesus. Most pastors will tell you, if they've ever had a member who suffers from Alzheimer's or dementia or memory loss, they might forget their pastor, they might forget even their own family members. And yet, when that bread and wine is laid out, when that table is set, when that book is opened, when those hymns are sung, when that prayer that the Lord taught us to pray is prayed, it's as if they're taken to another place. A place that's so familiar. A place where they know that name, Jesus. Jesus echoed those words of verse 15 when he said, "Do this as my memorial." The word and the sacraments are the rescue. They are the name of Jesus. And they save you from your sins. Again and again, we need that visit. We need to be reminded of I Am, that it's a name which saves, a name which guarantees rescue. It guarantees rescue from Alzheimer's, from dementia, from mental illness. It guarantees rescue from an oppressive job, demands at home that overwhelm you. It guarantees rescue from a chronic illness, a tragedy, a typhoon that strikes a whole city. It guarantees the resurrection, as sure and unchanging as his name. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the proven God, not the God of the dead, but of the living. He lives triumphant from the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high. Amen.